Hello and welcome back to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast, the first, the 2015 season. We didn't do any preview podcasts this year because we're a little lazy.
Yeah.
I think that's safe to say.
That's more than safe to say.
But we are back and we are ready to talk to you about defensive fantasy football in all its glory.
Yeah.
We've had 1 week of defensive fantasy football, and I'm pretty sure that's the only football that happened.
Yeah,
fantasy football. I don't recall anything else.
No, I don't know. I've seen some ads for stuff on television that I don't understand, but it doesn't look like defensive fantasy football, so I'm pretty sure it's fake.
Well, I thought those were for defensive fantasy football.
Oh, maybe that's it. That makes more sense. That would be the only thing that could really...
Yeah, they said really friends don't... You know, friends talk fantasy or whatever, and I assume that was defensive fantasy.
Right.
Is there another kind? I actually always wondered that, why we refer to it as defensive fantasy football.
Is there another kind? I know, I mean, and like the commercial says, Alan and I don't talk, not during the football season.
That's actually why we missed the preseason things. Until the football season and fantasy started, we didn't have any, we didn't speak.
Nope, no speaking.
So, all right, well, cool. We're gonna launch into what we do this year. We've got something exciting.
It is.
Maybe
yeah.
exciting.
I
it
think
might
it's exciting.
Be exciting.
I'm excited.
All right. James, do you want to explain the thing? The thing that we do?
Yes. The thing that we do now, is that this year, you know, everybody's got their different power rankings and their descriptions of every football team, and you can go to a dozen different websites, and you can read the summaries and all that jazz. But, you know, all that stuff, it's hard to sort out the good stuff from the bad. It's hard to know which ones are worth reading, and it's hard to actually get the salient details out of these summaries very often. So we've decided we're going to help you streamline the process, and we're going to make it enjoyable for you at the same time. Over the course of this season, Alan and I will be presenting a series of haikus to help you understand the defenses of all 32 football teams in the National Football League this year. We're going to do 2 a week by the end of the season. You'll know everything there is to know in 17 syllables.
It's probably true. We may speak more syllables about them after.
Yeah, occasionally, but...
Yeah, so, you know, it's going to be a poetic journey. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, until this is no longer possible, we're going to try to do it by focusing on a game from the week.
True.
That's coming up.
Yes.
So the game that we chose to focus on, because it seemed like the most interesting, our defensive game of the week, is the Bills and the Patriots. And each of James and I are going to do a haiku, and hopefully we got our communication proper such that we didn't choose the same team. But I think I'm doing the Patriots.
And I thought I was doing the Bills,
That's
so it
perfect.
Looks like that worked out.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. That's fine. Here's the Bills described in our haiku form. Young secondary. Quick front means no worries, right? Rex brings blitz and hugs.
I didn't know about the hugs.
He's been giving hugs to all of the rookie players on the sidelines when they perform well. There's been talk about how he's created a really inclusive atmosphere in Buffalo that's sort of helping the players who performed poorly in the preseason sort of stay confident during the regular season.
Is that why they're playing so well? They had a killer first week. They shut down the Colts, basically.
I'm not, you know, it would probably be irresponsible of me to say that Rex Ryan's hugs were responsible for both of those interceptions, but they were. I mean, both of those interceptions were made by young players who didn't necessarily perform well in the preseason, and Rex Ryan gave them hugs both before and after. And you know, they performed quite well. So, Rex Ryan's hugs.
I think that makes sense. So that's it's a new strategy.
It is.
I kind of don't remember that about Rex Ryan.
I don't know if he did it
stops.
On the Jets. I don't know. I'm in the same boat as you. I don't recall that being a part of his coaching style, but it is a documented part now in Buffalo. So,
all right. So do you want to just do all Bills talk and then we'll do all Patriots talk?
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
So what's the deal? What does that haiku mean? Break
okay.
it down for me.
With the exception of their starting strong safety, none of the Bills' secondary players have more or in their first or second string have been in the National Football League for more than 3 years. All right. They're all very young.
That's kind of crazy.
Most of them are very athletic. But, of course, with their lack of experience comes a lack of experience at making good decisions. Some people were worried about this during the preseason, but of course we all know that the preseason means absolutely nothing. The young athleticism and experience also means that they're easy to coach, and Rex Ryan is a great defensive coach. So he can turn a young, you know, block of clay into a surprisingly good secondary. And I think he feels really confident about it too. One of the reasons that we can see this is that he blitzed like basically every single down during the Bills-Colts game this week.
It was far more than any other team.
Yeah. And you can't do that if you don't trust your secondary, at least a little bit, right? Because otherwise they'll just get beat on quick throws all over the place. And, you know, it's not like Andrew Luck's not a bad quarterback. He can read well, he can make good decisions, and, you know, Rex Ryan, he trusts these guys. And I think he's a great coach, and I trust him too. I mean, it's just, I'm excited for this.
So from a fantasy standpoint, who are we interested in starting every week, and who are we interested in starting sometimes? I'm sure Kyle Williams is in every week if you have a defensive tackle slot.
Yes.
I assume Mario Williams is in every week if you have a defensive end slot, although maybe yes. Not quite as obvious. Yeah. What about these linebackers?
Okay. The two middle linebackers on Buffalo this week, both of them scored more than 10 points in,
okay.
in our defensive fantasy scoring, which you can look at on our website. It's based on Pro Football Focus's defensive fantasy scoring. But they both recorded double-digit tackles. They're both incredibly athletic. They're both pretty young. Preston Brown is in his second season. Nigel Bradham is in his fourth season. They're just, they're really athletic. They read the ball well. And Rex Ryan, of course, does defenses really, really good. And they, even against an elite quarterback like Andrew Luck, you know, they're all over the place. They're making plays. I think the Colts had, if I remember the stat correctly, the Colts had like 2.2 yards after catch.
Nice.
During that game. And it's a lot due to this linebacking core and a lot due to the secondary, too. It's good.
Are any of the secondary players worth starting? I kind of remember starting Aaron Williams last year, but I don't remember if that was out of desperation or something that was actually a good thing.
It was probably out of desperation. The problem with this secondary is there's not really a standout guy, so it's hard to know who to start on any given week. If you need a guy and you don't really know what's going on, playing somebody from the starting lineup of the Bills secondary is probably okay. It's almost impossible to know which one is the correct decision, though.
And that means they might be available, though.
It's true, yes. They're almost always available. Aaron Williams is probably available. Ronald Darby is probably available.
I'm sure. I think Stephon Gilmore is probably the best among them, right? I don't know how that translates to scoring for fantasy. I think last year it was very unreliable, if I recall. But he picked up 10 points in the first week on 6 tackles and a couple other things. So is this the year where he kind of pulls it together a little more reliably?
I think so. So if the Bills blitz as much as they did in this first week, which is probably a little bit unreasonable to assume, they will blitz a lot. They probably will not blitz quite as much as they did in this first game.
I suspect they will not.
But it means that those secondary players are going to have above average tackle numbers, because, of course, the people that are the extra pass rushers are these secondary players that they bring up into the front line. So there's a decent chance that this year his tackle numbers stay totally reasonable, especially for a cornerback. And that may be true of all of the Bills' secondary players.
All right, well, so that's another player you could pick up if you're wanting for quarterbacks. So there you go. Anything else for this team?
Nah, Tyrod Taylor is awesome. But that has nothing to do with defensive fantasy, so it's probably a lie.
Yeah, who knows. Speaking of nothing to do with defensive fantasy. All right, so I'll do mine. Ready? This is the New England Patriots haiku.
Okay.
Got this prepared. It's sort of similar to yours. No hugs, though. Tom Brady is free. Can they cover anyone? It may not matter. So what does
that
mean?
Good.
So similar to the Bills, this is a team, the New England Patriots, with a secondary that is, let's say, in question.
Uh-huh.
They lost Darrell Revis last year.
He's good, I'm told.
He was pretty good. They're starting a bunch of players who I think it's fair to say there are concerns about. You know, Devin McCourty played well as a safety. He's okay. Yeah. Patrick Chung has not been good in his other stops, but has been all acceptable in New England. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Malcolm Butler and Terrell Brown. And to be honest, it's really hard for me to recommend any of those players except maybe McCourty for fantasy. I think McCourty will have enough tackles to be worth playing, but those other guys are concerning for coverage.
Yes.
However, they're making up for that by with another great front seven. And that's kind of anchored by their pass rush of Chandler Jones and Rob Ninkovich, who I think are both startable at defensive end in almost any league.
Absolutely.
That's playing defensive ends. And then you've got, with Jared Mayo coming back, you've got Jamie Collins and Jared Mayo as completely viable linebacker options. And even Dont'a Hightower had weeks that he was useful last year. He's a little bit sack dependent, more so than the other two. But you know, that means you've got basically two defensive end and two linebackers that I think are pretty much every week starts, and then McCourty as a kind of possible borderline starter every week. I think it would be interesting to see how these cornerbacks shake out. We do know that teams tend to have to throw against the Patriots. The can they cover, or no, will it matter part of that was not just because their pass rush is going to be good, I think. It's also because, of course, their offense is going to be good.
Exactly.
So I think there will be points to have in the secondary. For now, my guess is those go to McCourty, but it will be interesting to see if one of these cornerbacks can really come in to his own as a source of reliable tackles.
Yeah, I think there's always the excitement of Malcolm Butler, of course, having been thrust into the spotlight at the very end of last season for making that pretty spectacular read on that play. And actually having a really good game against Pittsburgh in this first week.
Maybe that's the player.
He was covering Antonio Brown pretty seriously the whole time. And of course, the Steelers threw to Brown because you're not going to not throw to him. But he was there. He made tackles. He made plays. He made Brown's life, you know, a little bit hard. He got burned in junk time, but that's, you know, it's junk time. It's also a little bit not real.
Yeah. It's also a little bit not real.
He'd be my pick if you want to take a flyer on a cornerback on New England right
now. I think that's reasonable. I mean, he has the job. There's not obvious people coming to take the job from him if he continues to play well. Yeah. And despite Antonio Brown's numbers last week, he played well.
He did.
So it's not a thing where he's going to get benched because he gave up the 100 whatever yards that Antonio Brown picked up.
Right, because it's to Antonio Brown, who's probably one of the top three receivers in the league.
Yeah, maybe the top.
Maybe the top, yeah.
Cool. That's all I have for the Patriots. I don't know if you had any other thoughts.
No, I don't tend to think about the Patriots all that much, it turns out.
But that game's going to be exciting this week.
Patriots-Bills
is going to be our defensive game of the week, because it's two teams with those great pass rushes, questionable secondaries that can be really fun to watch.
Yeah. And two teams with, I mean, Tom Brady is not a question on offense, but, you know, with Tyrod Taylor and whatever is happening in the Bills, the Tyrod Taylor-Percy Harvin team and the Tom Brady-Gronkowski team, one of those is much more reliable, one of those is much more interesting.
Excellent. That is all. James, this being a defensive fantasy podcast, we probably should do a little bit of talk about useful information. Well, we'll see about that. Information about defensive fantasy players that you might actually be able to try to apply to a league you're playing in. So I thought we should go over just a couple players who had particularly good week ones, and we'll discuss whether we think that's going to keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to focus on the players who might be available in your league. So like J.J. Watt. Probably not available in your league unless you really play with people who didn't know what they were doing. I'm guessing that's unlikely. Yeah,
now.
You should probably get him. But I think there's some names that had good weeks last week that it's worth kind of looking into whether they can continue it.
Yeah.
The first one that kind of stands out to me on this list that I have, well, is probably Aaron Donald. But if you're in a league that plays defensive tackles where Aaron Donald was not taken, you should
something
go get him. Go ahead and get him, and you'll be happy there.
Yeah, he had an amazing game.
The one that I actually want to discuss a little bit, though, is Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith. So Jimmy Smith got a lot of points last week. Obviously, he had a touchdown, which helps a lot.
It does.
That means he also had an interception. But he had 8 tackles against the Broncos team.
That is a surprisingly high amount of tackles.
It's a pretty good number, and especially in a game where they weren't really throwing all that much.
Right, yeah.
Do we believe in Jimmy Smith?
Yes, I believe in Jimmy Smith. Go ahead.
I was going to say, my opinion on him in the past has always been that he was too good a coverage guy to get tackles.
I wonder if a weakening of the Baltimore secondary in general has made it the case that he ends up having to make more plays than he used to, which is going to boost his tackle numbers.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, and I saw him in that game getting in on more tackles on running backs than I remember. So mm-hmm. he was getting more involved in the run game. I don't know if that's a scheme thing, if it's something they did for Denver specifically, but if they keep doing that week in and week out, I think he's going to be a valuable player that's worth picking up, as he probably was not owned in your leagues unless you're playing in a pretty deep league.
That's true. Also, if you want to take him this week, the Raiders don't seem like they're going to present too much of... They're going to present a lot of opportunities for a cornerback to do lots of exciting things, including being bad at running the football, being bad at throwing the football, and probably not having any receivers that are super good at, you know, beating cornerbacks at really anything.
Makes sense. There's a couple defensive ends that look interesting on this to me that I hadn't heard of even a little bit. Henry Anderson from Indianapolis is one of them.
Yep, I don't know who that is.
He picked up 9 tackles,
that
which
is
a lot against the Bills.
Of tackles.
I would wait on that one. Mm-hmm. I guess is the short answer. That spot is open that he's playing across from Evan Mathis.
Yes.
So he has a starting job. If you need a person desperately, I think that's reasonable. Mm-hmm. But I would kind of temper your expectations of someone getting that many tackles. I think that was kind of a side effect of how much they were running in that game.
Yes, right. I think Buffalo went up so fast so early that they were probably running more than you would expect, mm-hmm. and that means tackles for the front four.
Further down our list, Kyle Emanuel from San Diego is another one that I would probably... He picked up 14.5 points in our league, but... That included an interception, which I think is pretty safe to say is rare for a defensive end.
Very rare.
So that's another one that I'm kind of not buying. In fact, I'd much rather buy Henry Anderson from Indianapolis than I would Kyle Emanuel.
I think so, too.
Although, again, he will be starting. That's another player who's going to be starting on that team, but it's just... I would be much more cautious there. I think there are probably better options available.
Yeah, absolutely. Another guy that I was excited about, but this is from actually having watched him play, Washington's new linebacker, Preston Smith. I have to say, I was not super excited about anything about the Washington football team this year, but he actually had a pretty good game, he had a spectacular forced fumble that he then recovered about 40 yards later down the field, which was kind of impressive, and you're not really going to expect that every week, but... If you are looking for a guy who is pretty... So, you know, we talk about sacks not being reliable production. Based on the way that the Washington defensive line is looking this season, I think you can expect a decent number of sacks from them, and I think that Preston Smith's production should be about as steady as you can expect from sack-dependent people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need to take a flyer on a guy who has a high upside... But maybe isn't exactly.
Yeah, that makes
high risk, high
reward to me. Yeah, if you're just trying to find someone for 1 week, you could get you can get 2 sacks out of him potentially, and you've got your whole week made. So
exactly.
I think that's reasonable. In the exact opposite direction, but coming from that same game, I thought Koa Misi from the Dolphins looked pretty good. I still think Jelani Jenkins is a better option in terms of just linebacker production there, but 11 tackles is a decent number of tackles, and I thought he was getting to the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
I think as long as he stays healthy, I think he's going to be a pretty reliable contributor on that team, and a good linebacker option for you to kind of slot in if you're looking for someone in that kind of replacement level. I will say, I have another one here that's not on our list,
yeah.
which is to say that... Let's assume you play in a league with safeties.
Yeah.
TJ Ward of the Broncos was suspended last game, but is not suspended this game.
Which means he will score more points.
He will score more than the 0 points, hopefully.
Hopefully.
I think TJ Ward, generally speaking, is very good. We probably would have had him ranked Maybe not in the top 10, but definitely in the top 20 among safeties coming into the year. And so if he's sitting there available, I think that's a good option if you have a safety who maybe got injured or a safety who you're already kind of bailing on, which, you know, probably too early to do that, but could see it. And there were some safety injuries. I know that two of my safeties are already injured. Rashad Jones and Jonathan Cyprian are both injured.
Yeah, and Charles Woodson.
And Charles Woodson. That's a more serious injury.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, if TJ Ward, if people didn't draft because they saw that suspended marker, which, you know, that's a reasonable thing that could have happened, I think that's a player that you might want to target. So one last thing on this, just, you know, it's only been 1 week. If you have a person that we thought was, or, you know, that you thought was a locked-in, guaranteed starter going into it that didn't perform well, I'm looking at your Lavonte Davids, yeah, your HaHa Clinton Dix, who you must start if you own.
You cannot bench him.
If you're going to bench HaHa Clinton Dix, you should trade HaHa Clinton Dix.
Yeah.
You just got to think this through.
You cannot put that on the bench.
Yeah, you just can't. Can't be done. But anyway, if you have a player like that, wait 1 to 3 more weeks before panicking.
Yeah, exactly. Football is a notoriously unpredictable sport.
Yes. And defensive in particular, sometimes the information is bad, but there are some of these guys, people like Lavonte David, we know are going to score points.
They are, yeah.
You don't have to worry about this. So that's absolutely all. Stay strong.
Stay strong. Stay low.
Thank you for listening to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Liza by Ned in the Dirt. They have a new album, I believe.
That's available. I've heard that they're amazing, too.
Yeah, they are pretty amazing. They're on tour, or they're coming on tour. They're on tour now. They'll be on tour doing an East Coast area, so if you're in the East Coast, that should be available. And that's kind of it. We'll be back next week. We'll do two more teams. Then we'll decide, based on how the games go, who looks interesting, who we want to talk about. Do we have a hit of the week? I mean, there were a lot of hits this week.
There were a lot of hits this week.
It's tempting.
I would like to. I don't know if you watched much of the Vikings game, the Vikings 49ers game last night. I would like just to get this out in the public sphere so that people can see that this is an exemplar of the way to lay a good hit. You know, right?
Okay.
Like sometimes we have these good hits, or we have these hits of the week, and we're all like cringing a little bit because it wasn't the smartest decision, it wasn't the safest decision. During the Vikings 49ers game, Colin Kaepernick, on a broken play, started running up the field and got to the sidelines and was met by Vikings safety Harrison Smith, who made a hit on Kaepernick that nearly started a fight between the two teams because it was brutal, but the crucial part of it was that not only was it a completely legal hit, Harrison Smith lined up to hit Colin Kaepernick only if he tried to stay in bounds.
Yeah, we've been saying this for multiple years when talking about illegal hits and all that. The way you should do it is aim, when you're on the sideline, is as a defensive player, aim yourself down the sideline so that you'll only hit them if they stay in bounds.
Right.
That's exactly what he did. It was perfect.
Exactly. It was great. If Kaepernick had stepped out, it wouldn't have been anything, but he tried to stay in and Smith leveled him and it was amazing.
Yeah, so I think it's fair to say, podcast listener Harrison Smith, someone took our advice and just aimed themselves down the sideline and scored our hit of the week for it.
Exactly. It's good to see that we're having a positive impact on the NFL today.
Exactly. That's really what we're here for.
That's why we do this.
Indeed. From Alan
and James,
stay low.